So, as per usual and in my typical fashion, I have been horrible at this new activity I wanted to do called podcasting. And I feel like it's been a month since I've even made any sort of an effort in recording myself in my sagas. But I was just talking with a friend after a class, and he was like, "You should do stand-up. You're fucking hysterical." I'm like, "I know." Well, no, of course I'm not like that, because in reality, I'm never like that. But I like to pretend I'm like that. And I was telling him, like, I do the podcast thing that I tried. And so, of course, I've done one. And then I was like, I should probably do another one, because, like, I got lots of stuff to talk about. And so I'm now leaving campus, and I got my recorder on, and let's see what happens, because apparently I thrive in recording myself talk while driving. Can't do anything when I'm at home. I got too much other shit to be thinking about. But we're going to kind of drift off a little bit, not necessarily cover certain individuals. We'll mention some individuals, which perhaps will come back into other stories. But when I last recorded, I was talking about the original first guy post getting sober, who I codenamed Alcoholic Asshole, which really wasn't too much of a code name because he was an asshole. He's probably most likely an alcoholic. But that being said, I did start a code naming process. And it initiated based out of a conversation that happened with a couple of ladies that are sober with me, and we were talking in terminology so that we could discuss something with, like, out anybody else listening. And my girlfriend says, "I really just want a guy who, like, you know, wants to play some Nintendo." And we all knew what she meant by Nintendo. I mean, like, there was no doubt, Nintendo. I want to play some Nintendo. And from that sparked this brilliant idea of mine that I should rename Shady Men in my life based upon some things game related. Because let's face it, it's all a big fucking game. And at the end of the day, I lose. Boo-hoo, whatever, I'm so used to it, I guess, at this point, that, even if something is going good, I tend to question it 150%. So, the first, nickname I took on was for this guy that I had met online, because I don't know how to meet people anyway, and, I had kept his real name in the computer with, like, followed up by, like, POF for Plenty of Fish, because that's where we originally started talking. Because I tried that technique for a while, because, like, that's how are you going to keep track of people that you, like, talk to, and then all of a sudden they, like, disappear, because ghosting is a real thing, man. And he's officially been nicknamed Game Boy. Right, hold on. I knew they weren't pulling me over. But I was like, of course you put your lights on as soon as you get right behind me. Gotta scare the shit out of this girl, why don't you? I'm like, I updated my registration, I'm sorry. Side note, when did we decide that, like, stickers were too much? Like, we're gonna cut back on the amount of plastic and paper being used and trees being destroyed on the fucking stickers that we're putting on our license plates. How is that an issue? Anyway, I just recently discovered this, and it was apparently, it's almost been a whole year that this has been a thing, but I'm slow. So, this guy has now been officially, and is in my phone, and will ever forever be in my phone, as Game Boy. Because it was very appropriate, you know. He was older than me, so that's why we went with a little bit of an older gaming system. You know, we got our Game Boy. You know, there was always the intent of, like, maybe something else coming out of it, but it ultimately became, like, you play for, like, one or two games and then be out, which fit very appropriately. And, of course, just recently, and it was one of the most amazing things ever, I just recently responded to Game Boy when he texted me to be like, yo, did you move yet? Because I'm moving in December. And I said I'm moving in December. It's currently October, so apparently we pay no attention to what I say or can count or know our months. You move yet? I'm like, no. He's like, what are you doing tonight? I'm like, going to a meeting. And I was like, but I am kind of seeing someone. And he was like, okay, cool, good luck. And that was it. And I was just so excited, even if this, kind of seeing thing, like, completely falls apart. And I was just so happy to be like, nah, I don't want to see you. I got somebody else right now. So, like, move on. Because this Game Boy has been, like, coming back and forth in my life for a year and a half now. And it's getting old. It's getting really old. I thought I was going to talk about nicknames, but apparently I'm talking about Game Boy. So Game Boy and I started talking on the phone, and it was really kind of cool. He initiated that. He was like, I have to tell you something. That's why we were talking on the phone. And I was like, okay. He was like, you know, like, it doesn't make a difference. Like, I don't really care, but I just want to let you know, as I, you know, want to be honest and everything. But, like, I'm sober. And I was like, that's cool as shit. So am I. And he was like, no way. And we had, like, a kind of freak out moment, because I was, like, totally crazy that, like, we both just happened to start talking to each other, and bam, we were both, like, sober and do, like, the AA thing, which is kind of cool. And I was like, oh my god, I met him, like, not in the rooms, like, outside in a normal way, which I guess Plenty of Fish is a normal way now. How sad. And, you know, like, and we met up one time when he was, like, at the park with his kids, and it was cool. It was very nice, and, very handsome. You know, it was definitely attractive, definitely what I look for in a guy, or, you know, more than I probably would give myself credit that I deserve. In a physical manner, obviously, going down the line, we learned that, like, that's not really the case. I deserve so much better, but, you know, why would I possibly, like, make that rationale? So, yeah, like, that night I came back over to meet up with him, and, like, we smoked a cigarette outside and talked, and, like, he put a movie on, and, like, one thing led to another, and, like, I slept with him. This has been a bad MO of mine, and it's not like I do it on a regular basis, where, like, because I'm not going out with guys all the time. It's not happening. But anytime that I actually go out with a guy, or have gone out with a guy that I'm actually interested in, I, like, just trust my feelings and just go for it. And I need to put some better barriers on. But I think that's also partially related to the fact that, you know, I gave up things like drugs and alcohol, which were really important and the center of my life for a very long time. So when I find stuff that makes me feel good in other ways, like ice cream sundaes, I feel like I need to indulge when I have the opportunity and I want it. And I definitely just compared sex to ice cream, which is amazing. And should always be the case. So I was like, cool. I was like, oh my gosh, this guy's, like, awesome. Like, hung out a couple times during the week. And by hung out, I mean, like, I'd come over, because, like, we never went anywhere. I'd come to his place and hang out. And, you know, like, we'd have sex and watch TV and, like, smoke cigarettes. And we'd talk. We'd talk about, like, recovery, man, which was fucking cool as shit. Like, that's the one thing that was, like, really cool in the beginning of, like, hanging out with him was, like, he pulled out his fourth step and, like, was talking to me and, like, reading off stuff on his fear list. Like, that's some deep shit. That's stuff that, like, you know, we have to, like, really, really work at ourselves to even write down on a piece of paper, let alone to share it with our goddamn sponsor, which is what we're supposed to be doing. And he's, like, telling me about this stuff. And I was like, oh, man, like, this guy's really cool. You know, and, you know, he was involved in, like, a meeting and doing all the stuff that you're supposed to be doing. And it was just such a really cool thing. And then, like, all of a sudden, like, I didn't hear from him for, like, a month. And I was like, what the fuck? I was pissed off. And then he texted me and was like, I'm sorry. Shit started, like, going on, and I didn't want to drag you through it. I know it wasn't fair to, like, just cut you out, but I didn't want to, you know, drag you along through anything. And, like, I took two things out of that. It's like, one, oh, that was the right way to handle that, and, like, you, in apologizing from the get-go that you had, were, the actions were wrong, because, like, that's not how you treat people. You don't just, like, fucking ditch them. Not if there's any sort of caring or, like, wanting to continue to see someone. So, and two, I was like, look at him, like, this is, like, what we talk about in recovery, about, like, you know, taking a, taking our own inventory and admitting when we are wrong and making amends to others. And I was like, this is really good signs. You know, not the fact that, like, this motherfucker, like, disappeared on me when things seemed to be going well. And that's, like, a typical guy MO and something that I absolutely hate. And I'm just letting it happen. No. So, none of that at all. So, things picked back up to where they were. And, like, he was talking to me and was like, you know, I like you and everything, but, like, I'm also early in recovery and I really want to maintain my focus on that. Like, I think we can still hang out, but, like, I don't really have the availability or the emotional capacity to be involved in anything more. Not at this time. So we kind of left things, like, open-ended, it seemed. Like, there would be potential for something, but right now, it, like, his focus needed to be elsewhere. And I completely supported that. At the time, he didn't, he was, you know, not even it. When I met him, I think he had, like, 6 months. And, you know, that's really early recovery. I get that. Like, that's, it's easy to, like, relapse. Whoa! And somebody just rammed up my ass. Jesus Christ. I really thought he was going to tap my, bumper there. Oh, the joys of, recording. Are you going to do this again, buddy? Where do you need to go at 10 o'clock on a Monday night? That important. You gotta run someone off the road. There's a red car, in case anybody also is on 476 and sees an obnoxious red car driving and running up your ass. Came from me first. Here's my warning. I'm easily distracted, I know. But in my defense, my life was, like, about to go before my eyes, and I'm like, this car is, 2016, so, like, don't fuck it up, please. This is the nicest thing I own. Anyway. Again, all these things that I, like, admired about him. This is, like, looking back, I'm like, why do I settle for shit? Why? But I think that I just have this ability or this desire to want to see good in people. I want to see people do well. I want to see them succeed. And I feel like if it was me, I would want to be treated this way. And I was taught back when I was little that, like, Jesus teaches us to treat others the way we want to, you know, love one another as I have loved you. And for some reason, that has always stuck with me, that I need to treat others how I want to be treated. And that has always, always hurt me. Because nobody treats people the way they want to be treated. Nobody does that shit. Because 90% of society are selfish pricks. And I say that, and I know that there are times where I have been selfish. And I did it tonight. And I'm like, you didn't say what I wanted you to say. Now I'm going to be mad at you. And I'm going to try to manipulate this conversation now. What the hell? That's not the same person. But then I will probably in a half hour, like, text something and try to be, like, sweet and sincere and, like, move things forward. And I probably won't get the response that I want. And I'll be depressed and then I'll go to bed. So that's the rest of my night, in case anybody was concerned. Man, I'm so sad. So Game Boy. So round two of the Game Boy disappearance occurred right before Christmas. And this went on for about 2.5 months. I didn't hear from him. Just fucking disappeared. And at this point, I was seeing him a minimum of 2 nights a week. I was like, after a meeting, I would like go over there. And, you know, again, disappearing act and then reappearing like, oh, hey. Immediately responding with an apology. And, you know, I said, like, you're working this program and you're making all this progress and you're doing all these things. When you fucking know that, like, to apologize, I was like, but you also should know that you're supposed to talk to another alcoholic when you're going through shit, not shun them away. And I was like, the fact is that we're not in a relationship. So you are not going to be pulling me through anything. Like, yeah, we talk a lot and we see each other a lot. And, like, in some ways or correlation, that could be seen as a relationship. Or maybe when I was fucked up in 18, that was a relationship. But, like, it's not. You know, I don't have any obligation to this. And you're not going to, like, hurt me by being honest about what's going on in your life. And, you know, he's like, you're right. Blah, blah, blah. Which, of course, always a great thing, fellas, when you tell a woman she's right. It's like, we love to hear that shit. It's just wonderful. And, so I feel like when I tell the stories of these guys in one giant setting, I end up, like, missing key adventures that have occurred. But that is what it is. I'm going to cover a really good adventure, which was the most, which was rather recent. This was after, you know, we started talking back again. And then we had our disappearance of number three, which that went for about 4 months. And came back around and was like, hi. I'm like, you know, blah, blah. I'm like, and at that point, I had written off any and all hope of, like, anything coming out of this. Because I was just like, this guy is clearly, like, nothing's going to be good enough for him to, like, want to take the risk of, like, seeing where things go. So I might as well just let it go. With that being known, I was like, he's good for a good game. Like, let's be honest. It was a good fuck. So, if it wasn't, I wouldn't have kept coming back or letting him come back in my life. So, it's like, whatever, okay. And at this point, he had, like, decided he was not having people over at the place he was staying anymore. And his schedule with his kids, it was a little bit more crazy. So, me, like, hanging out a lot more limited. And he would, like, want to see me. But there wouldn't be, like, time or he wouldn't be available to do anything. So I was like, well, that sucks. Like, my thing is, like, if my schedule's pretty consistent, I can tell you what my availability is going to be like, and it's going to be like that, like, every week. Like, I work Monday through Friday. I have class right now Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I go teach a lesson after work on Tuesdays, and then I go to a meeting. So Thursdays are the only days during the week that I am not occupied. You know, regularly or recurringly busy with some shit. So why are you going to text me on a Tuesday and be like, can I see you? Or things like that. Like, how is that a rational thought? But anyway. I'm, like, trying to remember how things, like, progress to, like, where I want to get to. So it became, like, kind of random gatherings that we would ever see each other. It was like one time we like fucked in his car in like a parking lot, which was like weird because I'm like, we're both in our 30s and we're like, is this really happening? But you know, you work with what you got. And he loved that. He was like, this is amazing. Apparently I was the only girl he ever slept with in that car. Which I guess that makes me feel honored. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck that means. Nobody's sleeping in this car, I'll tell you that. Because it is not my favorite thing to do. I'm sorry. I didn't even like doing it when I was, like, younger. It was like when nobody had a place to stay, so you would, like, get in on in a car. No, it's just too much shit. So one night he's like, do you want to meet me for pizza? And I was like, okay. Which we never like went out and did anything or like, so I was like, well, this is interesting. And he was like, I got pizza. And I was like, oh, why'd you want to meet for pizza? And he's like, well, I know, like you said, like it'd be nice for us to like go out or do something. And I thought, so I said, and I was like, wow, he actually like listened to what I said. One, and like retained it from that time period of when I actually said it, because it was not like I had said it that night. And I was kind of like, huh, this is interesting. And you know, asked me how I was doing, and I talked about my work, and he talked to me about like how things were going with his job, as he had started starting his own business. And then we went outside, and I smoked a cigarette, and he started vaping because he had just recently started vaping instead of smoking cigarettes, and so like was all gung ho on that. And then he persisted to go off for at least 20 minutes on a tangent that was unprovoked, no questions asked, nothing to like lead down that road, this rabbit hole that he took himself down and spun out on, about like that he likes me but like can't do a relationship right now because he's trying to get his business situated, and then he's got his kids, and like there's a lot of things that are like, you know, he's doing sponsoring men and like all of these things that he's just like telling. But like, I'm one, didn't ask anything about this. Two, don't expect anything out of this. And three, this is all you're just telling me is your current fears that you are letting keep you from doing anything. So at this point, I'm like, fuck this shit. I'm so over this shit. Like, I don't even, why am I in a parking lot? And I have become the guy in this conversation. I have completely become the guy. And I forget how it was brought up. And he was like, you know, I don't expect you to wait for me. And I was like, good. I was like, because, you know, that's not going to be the case. It's not like I'm going to wait for you. I was like, for all you know, I could have gotten some over this weekend. And then everything changed. It was like, well, I mean, like, well, did you? No, that's none of your fucking business. Well, I mean, like, I should probably know. I'm like, you don't get to know that. You don't get to know if that was true or not, the statement I just made. You don't get to know what else I am doing or who else I am seeing if you can't commit to a relationship or something. Because God forbid, like, you actually make any commitment. Because I don't know what this thing is. Or maybe it's just guys that think that, like, once you put the relationship status in there, that, like, all of a sudden you guys are, like, in deep in love. And it's, like, this, like, really strong, like, it's like what a relationship looks like 8 months down the road. Like, no, that's not how it happens. Like, a relationship starts when you both like each other and you want to see just each other, and that's it. You don't want to see anybody else. You don't want to talk to anybody else. You want to see what happens. Why is that a foreign concept? Why does that have to be explained to men? I don't understand that. I don't want to start dating somebody and move in with them. I don't want to start dating someone and dropping the L word. I don't want to start dating somebody and think about my wedding with them or how many kids I want to have with them. I don't want to think about any of that. I just want to see what happens. But I'm willing to commit that I'm only going to see what happens with that one person. So, needless to say, he was not happy that I would not answer his question. To the point that a couple days later, he came over and we hung out. And after, when he was going to, like, we were outside, he went off on another one of his tangents, unprovoked. But this one was all about how he deserved to know if I was seeing anyone else or sleeping with anyone because, you know, he needs to know if he could possibly be getting something, which one was really insulting to say. And, you know, then we should probably not be, like, doing anything, which makes no sense when you're there telling me that you don't want anything, you don't want to commit to me but if I, it made no sense, and that, like, I should be telling him. It was really fucking crazy. And I was like, no, you don't have the fucking right to know any of this shit. And I was getting really angry about it, too. So, I forget how it, like, ended on that. And he, like, came over and was like, well, I gotta go. And I was like, uh-huh, whatever. And he leaned in to kissed me, and then went, ew, because I had been smoking a cigarette. And at that point, I turned around and started to walk into my kitchen. And he was like, what? And I was like, excuse me? I was like, you come over to my house, you sleep with me, and then immediately afterwards, you're out here telling me I need to tell you if I'm sleeping with any guys or anything like that, even though we are not in a committed relationship. You've also made it very clear you don't want to be in a committed relationship. That, you know, you could get something if I was sleeping with anybody else, and that, like, we should probably not see each other anymore. Which, if these were things that you were concerned about, you should be dealing with now, not if I'm seeing somebody else or giving you this information. You're telling me that you have the right to information you don't have the right to, and then you try to sum it all up by trying to lean in for a kiss and then go ill in my face. All of this outside of my own fucking house. No, I don't deserve that. And he was like, you're right. That was, you know, you're right. But, like, I should know. And at that point, I turned around and I walked and went inside my house, which I have never done that. I am too nice of a person to just, like, fucking leave. And I walked in, I turned around, and I went into my house and I closed the door. And I texted him and I said, if you ever do that to me again, we are done. And I didn't hear from him for a while, or, like, 2 months. And I was like, all right, like, whatever. And he texted me randomly and was like, hi. I'm like, hi. I was like, I haven't heard from you in, like, a while. And he was like, well, you said we were done. I said, no, that's not what I said. I said, if you pull that shit again with me, like, we cross that line, we're done. He was like, okay. So I've seen him, like, maybe 3 or 4 times since that conversation, until the other night when I said, I'm kind of seeing someone. Which felt so fucking good, especially after that big-ass conversation of him demanding for me to tell him in our non-relationship if I'm seeing anybody else or, dating anybody, which is none of his fucking business. It was so rewarding. Ugh. Hopefully that is the end of Game Boy. I mean, in the back, you know, the entire time I always thought, like, you know, there was something good there, and I think that he really has a good heart, but I sell myself so short all the time, and I know I'm not the only one that does this. I know there are plenty of us out there that do this, and I don't know if part of it is because I don't feel that I deserve better. It could partially be related to my recovery, and that I, you know, have this fear of being too cocky and too confident, that I just continue to push myself down and would rather be down than too far up. But it's a fucking crazy thing, and that's why I need stuff like labels in my phone to say Game Boy, or right now Game Over Boy, because it's over for now, at least. I'd really like to never have to tap into that resource again. That would be amazing. Unfortunately, I can't say that there was not another codenamed gaming system that I still have to, like, break off as well. But I'm kind of proud to officially be, like, saying farewell to the Game Boy. So for all of you that owned yourself a Game Boy, not Game Boy Color, okay? We're talking about the classic black and white, you know, the big-ass clunky one. It was, like, the size. It was as thick as, like, a cassette tape player. That kind of Game Boy. Used to play, like, Pokemon on there, because that was when Pokemon was cool the first time around. I don't know. There was a couple of games we'd play off of that. Definitely some Mario. You know, just A and B button and the up and down, left, right button. That was, like, it. That was original. Just classic. Good shit. And of course, my favorite part, you would turn the power button off and all the lines from the color would just be like, and you would see it then slowly dissipate because it couldn't just stop automatically. Not like how computers are now, where like when they're off, poop, everything's off, black screen. You know, like it was, this recording's for you. You with your original game systems. And I hope that you don't have a Game Boy in your life or a Game Girl. I don't know. They never had a Game Girl. They never made a thing. Like, why didn't they do that? That could have gone somewhere, but whatever. But you have somebody that's like a Game Boy in your life. And don't be afraid to be better than that and to do things like use terms in your phone to nickname and remind yourself that you're better than that shit. So, that's all I've got. Maybe next time I will discuss my other gaming system, Sega, who, is, just like the gaming system. Nobody knows what the fuck happens to that shit. This is Meg, and, till the next time, guys, hopefully, stay sane and stay out of trouble.